Abraham was tempted. I've been tempted. You are tempted. We all come to a place of temptation. And God is looking like Abraham to see if you really trust Him, if you really put your faith in Him, so that He can work in your life and through your life. Fully, completely.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. As Roel presses through our series exposing the powerful influence of false religious leaders, he'll challenge you to stand firm on the bedrock of Jesus Christ. No matter what trials you face or what bogus spiritual teaching you might encounter, you can remain unshaken with your Savior. Stay with us to see that the key is spending time in God's Word. Here's Roel Reese with our study, True and False Foundation. We'll begin today in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24.
He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house on a rock, and the rock is Jesus. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Now the winds and the rains that blew upon this house are the trials and temptations and the sicknesses that we go in life that doesn't move us. So we need to build our house on the rock. The rock is always a strong foundation to build in our lives. Then he goes on and speaks about the other one. Verse 26. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them," notice, "does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And then, so it was that when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not like the scribes. So notice what he's saying here, the final verses of the discourse here. When I speak all over the country and I go to different churches, it really blows my mind to see that most of the people within the church, they're building on sand. Building on sand. Where are you building your house today? On the rock or in the sand? Because trials will come. The floods are going to come. The rains are going to pour. You see, when you go to Jerusalem, you're up in Jerusalem and you go down into the Dead Sea. The rains come, not to the desert. The rains come at 2,000 feet high up where Jerusalem is. And when it rains, it pours. The water has only one way to go, and that's to the desert. And many times in times past, people had built homes there. When the rains descended and they came down, they swept away the home because it was built on sand, not on the rock. And we have a lot of rain or trials in our lives that need to be taken care of. That's why it's important not only to read the Word of God, but to stand upon the Word of God. So when something comes into your life, something happens in your life, you'll be able immediately to lean on the Scriptures. The problem with an unbeliever is he goes through a trial or a situation, and what happens? He starts cursing God and blaming God. And the reason is because he doesn't know the grace of God and the sovereignty of God and the mercy of God. So let's look at the first point here. In verses 24 to 25, a true builder. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them," notice, "does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then the rains descended, the trials of life and the floods came, and the winds blew And notice it beat on that house. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So there are many that hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, but never, never do anything for Christ, and they never learn. You see, the words that he uses here, thus them, does not refer to ordinary good deeds by which men do. But he's talking about those deeds that we do because we know Christ as our Lord and Savior. And here the Lord Jesus Christ not only is saying, trust me, put your full trust in me and obey my gospel and I'll take care of you. Anyone that puts their life in the hands of Jesus, you don't have to worry about anything. Obeying the gospel is a very important thing. Listen to Paul in Romans 10:16. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has really believed our report? Not everybody obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why the church is in the condition that it is today. If the church today would be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would have a different church. Maybe like the first century church. And that's something that every one of us has to look at our lives, and we have to work on that every single day. When you're under pressure, when you're going through a huge trial like Job did. I mean, remember in chapter 1 of Job, Satan came to God and God gave him permission to go ahead and kill Job's, all of his family except his wife and him, and to take all his riches. And Job came and said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Could you do that? Could I do that? We can say yes, but when it comes, you will be tried. And then how about secondly, when Job was sitting there and Satan came again and he said, have you ever considered my servant Job? Have you ever been scoping him out and strategizing how to get him? He says, well, I have, but you always protect him. And God said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you an opportunity, but you can't kill him. And remember what happened? Boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, all over his body. He couldn't sit. He couldn't lie down. He couldn't even walk. And yet he never cursed God. So it is important to understand that we are going to have problems. We are going to have trials. We are going to have heavy situations in our lives. And yet our works, you know, that are mentioned here should always be built upon the house, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The rock is Christ. In Proverbs 9:10, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Do you have the fear of the Lord? That's not trembling. Do you really, truly respect God and his word? Do you really respect him? Do you reverence him? You know, it's not just coming to church and fellowshipping and listening to the Word of God. It is listening to the Word of God, applying the Word of God, and then you can fellowship. That's amazing how it works. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3:11, he said, Paul, for no other foundation can anybody lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And then 1 Corinthians 10:4, it says, and all drank of the same spiritual drink. And they drank that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus Christ. In the wilderness, when they were thirsty, remember the first time God, you know, Moses gave them water? And then as they were getting ready to cross to the promised land, one more time the people murmured and complained. They've seen the miracles and wonders of God just like us today. And they began to murmur and complain. And Moses went to God and said, God, these people are again thirsty. And the God said to him, Moses, give them water. He says, you see that staff in your hand? You go out and walk on it. He says, and then speak to the rock, and I will bring forth water for the people. And as Moses walked out with his staff, when he saw the people, he became so enraged, so angry because of their murmuring and complaining. And he took the staff and beat the rock once and beat the rock twice. And the water came forth. And then God said to Moses, Moses, did I tell you to beat the rock or to speak to the rock? He beat the rock. He misrepresented God. And because you misrepresented me, you are not going into the promised land. You're going to die on this side. How many times we misrepresent God in our trials, in our temptations, in everything that we do because we're not rooted and grounded in God's word. Our foundation has to be built upon the rock. And when they drank of that rock, which is Jesus Christ, we understand that also as he beat the rock twice, Jesus was only smitten once, not twice. In the New Testament, he brings it out here, Paul the Apostle. So that we can understand that Christ is truly my rock. I stand on the rock. Everything that I need to go through is upon the rock of Jesus Christ. And in building your house, you know, you run into problems. Maybe the windows don't fit. Maybe the roof needs a little bit more fixing. Whatever it is, your plumbing, whatever it is. So here is James, what he says, if you're having problems in your life, count it with all joy when you fall into various trials. What's the first thing we do? We get angry. We start doubting God. We start cursing. And sometimes we don't really understand why. Yes, it's painful. Sometimes it's painful what we go through. But he says, knowing that your testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing in the Lord. Hey, how about Abraham? What a great story. Back in the book of Genesis 22, here is Abraham with his son, and God comes to him one day and says, Abraham, I'm going to put you to the greatest trial you've ever been in your life. I want you to take your son, and I want you to go to Jerusalem, to Mount Moriah, and I want you to kill your son. So he gathered the servants together. He got the donkey, got the wood, got the knife, got his son, and they 3-day journey they went. And when they got to Mount Moriah, a little distance away, he told his servants, you guys stay here. Me and the lad are going up there, but we'll be coming back. He spoke that he was coming back, faith in God, that even if he killed his son, he will resurrect him. They're going up to Mount Moriah. Abraham has a knife, okay, and his son carrying the wood. What is that? A picture in time. Got the father, got the son carrying the cross, and then Eliezer in chapter 24, the Holy Spirit looking for a bride. And when he got to the top of Mount Moriah, his son said, hey, Dad, the altar, the wood, knife, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, you're the sacrifice, my son. He tied him up. He's probably about 33 years old, Isaac. Lays him on the altar. He takes the knife out and gets ready to kill him. And the Lord says to him, Abraham, Abraham, don't kill your son. I've seen that you trust in me. And then on the side of the bushes, there was a ram that he killed and put as a sacrifice for God. See, well, you're going to be tempted. Abraham was tempted. I've been tempted. You are tempted. We all come to a place of temptation. And God is looking like Abraham to see if you really trust him, if you really put your faith in him so that he can work in your life and through your life. Fully, completely.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Rees. We are committed to helping you nurture a healthy faith that's rooted in the solid ground of the Word of God. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for a wealth of resources. You can also download our app for digital Bible studies and live-streamed Bible teaching. Let's continue now with more of our study, True and False Foundation.
Now we have to be careful when we're building our home on the rock that Satan is going to come against you. There'll be all kinds of problems. Remember city ordinances? They come against us like Satan sometimes. When you're building. So Paul the Apostle, being not only in Ephesus, he writes a book of Ephesians, and when he's getting ready to conclude the book, because in the first three chapters, he says, look, you guys, this is who you are, and now this is how you're supposed to live in the next three chapters. So he's concluding the book, and Paul doesn't forget. He waits into the last before closing the book, and he says this, finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. To stand. Don't sit down. Don't lie down. Stand. Ready. And then he says this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual angels of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Notice how many times he speaks about standing. Stand therefore. There it is again. Having girded your ways with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Holy Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Putting on the armor of God. Did you notice something there? Did you catch the observation? He never spoke about the back of the armor. You know why? You should never turn your back on Satan. You always go forward. There's nothing more disgusting than a coward. Especially when you're in full combat and they get up and they run. And so it's important for each one of us individual to understand that we have the armor of God. And yet why is it that so many people, when they're going through a trial or they're going through a temptation, instead of listening to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they listen to Satan and begin to curse and begin to doubt. Remember, Jesus, here's the Son of God. He comes and he goes out to the wilderness of Judea. And what does he do? He goes out there for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted of the devil. And when you begin to read Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, on the temptation of Jesus, he comes to Jesus and he tempts him in three areas of his life: physical, emotional, and spiritual. That's how I'll come to you too. If he can't get you physically, he'll try to get you emotionally. If he can't get you physically, emotionally, he'll try to get you spiritually. And the way that you only overcome is like Jesus. When Satan came and Jesus said, "It is written, thou shalt not." Why? He went back to the word of God, the book of Deuteronomy. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Every temptation that Satan came, Jesus threw the word of God to him. But if you don't know the word of God, what are you going to confront Satan with? You can't. You'll get beat up big time. And that's why we continually teach about the word of God, the importance of the word of God. Because trials become very severe. And yet we all know that these trials not only are making me strong, but also those trials in my life are making me feel sorry for other people that are going through it. Not rejoicing, but praying for them. Every one of us have been hurt at one time or other. Right now in this building, outside this building, there are a lot of infirmities. And yet Jesus here in saying, look, I'm going to close the book. I want you to understand that if you truly, truly want to go into the kingdom of God, then build your house on the rock. On the rock. If you don't build your house on the rock, then you'll never make it. If you build your house on the sand, you're going to slip away. You're going to be gone. And then remember what Paul said about the cross in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The power of God, the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, the cross of Jesus Christ is so important because you're building your foundation on the cross. If you don't build your foundation on the cross, then what's going to happen? You'll never believe in the resurrection. You'll never believe that. And so if we truly have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then let it be not a stumbling block, but let it be something that not only has become part of your life. Matthew 16:24. If any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Look at the second point, verse 26 and 27. False structures, false foundation. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, so we're here this morning, you're hearing his sayings, and does not do them, again, look at do them, not, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and then the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. They couldn't stand the trials of life. They couldn't stand in any way anything that happened in their lives. He's saying here that the person who hears his word and then deliberately rejects it is a man who built his house upon the sand. This is such a great illustration for us to understand. And then you look at the church today, are we truly building on the sand? And I think today, when you look at the church has moved away from building upon the rock, and we're moving into building the sand. We need to open our eyes, open our ears to hear what God says through the Holy Spirit. And the only way to do that is to build our house on the rock and be able to read the Word of God, wait on the Holy Spirit for God to speak to us. But those that are building their house on the sand cannot hear what God is saying. You see, there are many characteristics of false confidence in God. Number one, self-righteousness. When you don't have your confidence in the Lord and you're building on sand, self-confidence. Romans chapter 2, 3 says, and do you think this, O man, you who judge others practicing the same things, doing the same thing, that you will escape the judgment of God? I mean, how many people judge other people when you don't look at yourself and you're going to be judged? How about spiritually blind? Isaiah 28, 15, because you have said we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol, hell. We are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come upon us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves, having a false security. They think they're going to make it, but they're going to be wiped out. The judgment of God will come. How about worldly security? 1 Thessalonians 5, 3. For when they say, Paul said, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Notice that they shall not escape.
As you think about Jesus' grounding strength in your life, we encourage you to lay all of your worry and confusion at His feet, asking Him to fill you with an unshakable faith. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. Today's message was titled True and False Foundation. If you'd like to get a complete unedited version, we'll be happy to send it to you for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165. We'd also like to tell you about Rawls' illuminating 6-part series titled False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. Available on either CD or thumb drive, this study will show you how to recognize and resist those who will attempt to lure you away from the Lord under the guise of religious enlightenment. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to purchase Rawls' 6-lesson series titled False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. We'll send you the flash drive for $10 or the CD set for $21. The number again is 800-634-9165. Or you can write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Thanks so much for your partnership. Your tax-deductible gifts enable us to keep sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, you'll see that Jesus Himself warned about widespread apostasy among ignorant believers in the last days. Now with a closing comment, here's Rawl.
And then when He finishes, verse 28 and 29, His authority in teaching. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. Notice, they were blown away by the teaching. They've never heard that from the scribes, Pharisees, or Sadducees. And then it says, for he taught them as one having authority, but not like the scribes. Not like the scribes. Why? Because the scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees, they preach something, but they didn't live it themselves. Whatever you're going to preach, you need to live it first. And then you become powerful when you preach it. But if you're just going to listen and not be a doer of the word of God, then your house is built upon the sand. And when the things of life come into your life, you're going to be swept away. You'll have nothing to stand on.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.